Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, March 7th, 2015. This is episode 1167. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and get a $50 Visa gift card when you get a loan. And by RingCentral, the business phone system that's in the cloud. RingCentral now integrates with Google for Work. Try RingCentral with a 30-day risk-free trial. RingCentral.com or call 800-543-9980 and use the promo code TWIT. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, smartphones, home theater, and watches. Apple Watches, to be specific. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, you can always Skype me. I mentioned the Apple Watch because Monday, the Apple Watch makes its debut. It will probably not be available on Monday, but at least we'll learn a couple of key facts, mostly how much the darn things are going to cost. There'll be six of them, three different styles, sport. There's a stainless steel version. The sport version would be the least expensive. And then something called the Edition, which will have gold, like 18-karat gold. And watch folks say any solid gold watch, we're talking many thousands of dollars. I've heard estimates ranging from $5,000 to over $10,000 for a watch. Not only just a watch, really, because it's not a piece of jewelry so much as it is a piece of technology. So that'll be interesting to see how much that is. $350 will be the least expensive, the sport version. But we have to see. You know, you got to accessorize. The first accessory, of course, is you need an iPhone 5 or later. You need a relatively recent iPhone. In fact, not much is leaked about this watch. It's so funny to watch the Apple press, and I guess I'm one of them at this point, kind of speculate and kind of wildly guess what the watch will do and so forth. We'll find out Monday. There's no point. Really, there's no point in guessing. The only data point we have a couple of data points. Tim Cook says he wears his in his shower. He's the CEO of Apple, so that means either, one of two things, either it's waterproof or water-resistant, or because he's the CEO of Apple, he wears it in the shower, it breaks, and he just gets a new one out of the rack in the closet. I'm hoping that it's a little bit water-resistant. That would be a good thing, and not so hard to do on a watch. Quite a few are, aren't they? We also know Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, says it will last all day, but we're not sure what that means, last all day. We know you'll be charging it every night, as you do your phone in most cases. But will it gleefully go 18 hours or more, or will it kind of hobble in across the finish line, barely gasping for juice? We don't know. I'm seeing rumors that say that you're going to get 5 hours of like aggressive time, like playing a game on it, which is full display and everything. I've also seen rumors that it has a low power mode that it can go into where it just sips, and there's a always on mode where you always at least get the time of day. So we shall see. We know a little bit about what the watch will do because Apple has released information to developers, and they've talked a little bit about it. There's some fun stuff. There's some silly stuff. There's a heart rate monitor on that. And apparently, if your loved ones or close friends have iWatch or Apple Watches, I'm going to call it iWatch a few times, I know, have Apple Watches too, you can send them your heartbeat. Honey, press a button. Feel my heart racing for you. How's that? I've also heard from Apple employees who say you can draw on it. We saw that, and they say what we use that for is like quick messaging, like L? For lunch. Hmm. It's also got something called taptic feedback. That's a word Apple made up, and they showed this too. It taps your wrist very lightly. Only you know it's tapping. But you can use that to signal loved ones. The example given, you're at a party together, she's across the room, and you tap, let's get out of here. And she goes, okay. All with secret taps that no one can hear or see. Hmm. Interesting. So that's it. That's pretty much all we know. $350, variety of bands. There are two sizes of each variety, a littler one for, I guess, for ladies and small wrists, and a big one for gentlemen and big wrists. I think it's 38 millimeters and 42 millimeters. But Apple doesn't measure those the same way the watch industry does, so I don't really know what that means until we see it. Well, you know, what's interesting, it'd be interesting to watch the Apple stock price. Usually, you know, and by the way, I don't think stock price tells you much, although Apple, based on its stock price, is the most valuable company in the history of mankind, more than double Exxon. Number two is Exxon, more than double number two. That's why I guess they're on the Dow Jones Industrial Average now. They're a blue chip stock. They booted off, this is a little bit of irony, AT&T was on the Dow 30, and they booted it off. See ya! So now they're on the Dow 30. Meaningless. Meaningless. Same thing with the stock price. But the rumor is, you know, you buy on the rumor. The rumor's long gone on the watch and iPhones and iPads. And then you sell on the news, and the news is Monday. So I think that will be... The price has already started to go down a little bit, I notice. A little bit. Teeny weeny little itty bitty bit. Went up on Friday, got up to $129, and now it's down to $126 by the end of the day Friday. So a little drop. That's the sell on the news, I guess. I don't know. You can't tell with Apple. First of all, the stock market seems to love Apple. Completely love them. And, you know, they're a pretty profitable company. I guess that makes sense. Plus, they've been buying stock back. That makes shareholders happy. And they've been paying a nice, hefty dividend that also makes shareholders happy. So, you know, it's a kind of a festival. It's a geek holiday on Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific. Well, the geeks will gather. I know I'm not going. I don't get invitations to Apple events anymore. I'm not sufficiently reverential. I'm afraid I don't worship at the shrine. What's funny is I use Apple products like crazy, but I don't worship. In fact, my counsel to everybody is never worship technology. That's silly. You may love it, but it doesn't love you. It doesn't care. And Apple doesn't care about you either. I hate to tell you, they just want your money. And I think the watch, they may have found a marvelous new device. More rumors. The rumors are that they are making 5 million, or will have 5 million on hand when they start selling them. Probably the most interesting thing, besides price, will be when can we get one? And there will be lines, given, you know, that it's Apple. So, you know, can we pre-order it? Do we have to go into a store? I suspect you might for some, certainly for the expensive one, you'll have to go in. Anybody willing to spend $5,000 on an Apple Watch that's obsolete in next year? I'm watching. Somebody speculated, pure speculation. Maybe the expensive one will be upgradable. Like you could take the guts out, keep the gold, take the guts out, put a new. That would be good. I would hope for that. We shall see. We shall see. There's a real question whether anybody wants to wear a watch anymore. Apple and the smartphone industry have done so well getting the watches off our wrists because we have something that tells the time in our pockets all the time that now they want us to put it back on. You're starting to hear propaganda, too, the folks at Apple and the Tame Apple bloggers saying, oh, amazing. I never had. I spent the whole day, didn't take my iPhone out of my pocket. I could just look at my watch. Is that the sales pitch? Never take your iPhone out of your pocket again? I don't know. 8888, ask Leah. We'll find out. That's not what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to answer your tech questions about stuff that actually exists, including the new Galaxy S6. We'll talk about that too. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 ask Leo. That's the phone number. A beautiful day. I shouldn't say that. Rub it in. Here we are in California and everywhere else is freezing and under 18 feet of snow. But here it is in beautiful Northern California. Beautiful day. Heather Hammond. We were thinking if there's any way we could do the radio show outside. You know how that was the best part of school when they said, let's do class outside.
Oh, that was the best.
Wasn't that cool?
Like I'll sit under a tree. Yeah. Maybe find a bug.
So can we, I guess there's really no way. We have to sit in a studio.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I mean, it would take a lot of planning, and we don't have that.
We don't have any. The ability to plan, actually.
Well, wait, how long is my cord?
We know we can't do that. Planning? No, we don't. We don't do that. So, HH, she's back. She tried to run out the door. It's right behind her. That's the funny thing. I could see the window and the beautiful day and all that.
But I'm like ear cuffed to this station.
Ear cuffed. Ear cuffed. So, who do we have here? Have you lined anybody up? Is it too early to ask for
just
calls?
A few. Mike in Portland, Maine, where it probably isn't so warm and sunny. Maybe it's sunny. Anyway, is wondering which smartphone he should get. And I know you love those kind of questions.
I love spending people's money. That's what I love doing. Mike, Leo Laporte, thank you, Heather, the tech guy. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Leo, and yes, it's beautiful up here and very warm. It got up to 25. It's great.
Wow.
The snow's almost melting. I can see the top of my grill, so we can
have a party. Yeah, my mom's in Rhode Island, and it's endless. But, you know, March, right, comes in like a lion, goes out like a putty tat. So we'll hope you have a warming up period.
It goes out like a grilled lamb.
No. That's so mean. What can I do for you, Mike?
Well, I think it's finally time to get rid of my Razer V3. And so I'm looking at a new car. I'm looking at a new car, and I need a new phone for my new car, actually.
Oh.
I'm debating. I've never had a smartphone. I'm looking at the Moto G, and I can't really see what the big difference would be between that, maybe in a OnePlus One, which is not that much more, it's about twice the price, and a Moto X, and my carrier right now is AT&T, but I'm going to switch over to Cricket, which is really AT&T in disguise and half the price. They offer 4G LTE. And then if I do buy a Moto G or whatever, then you have the choice of global GSM or US GSM. And I sometimes travel to London, and so I'm wondering what to do.
You got some good choices. It sounds like you've decided Android. There's no question in your mind about iPhone.
I have all PCs and never use the Mac. And
go with it. I like Android. There's no reason not to. And you'll save a lot of money. The OnePlus that you mentioned, OnePlus One, which is getting a little long in the tooth, is about $300. I would get the 64 gig version because it doesn't have an SD card slot. So a little extra storage doesn't hurt. And it's only $50 more. So $350. That's less than half a comparable iPhone. It does everything an iPhone does. You know, it just doesn't run Apple software. It doesn't run iOS, and it doesn't run the stuff from the Apple store. It only runs stuff from the Google store. But that's, as far as I can tell, there doesn't seem to be much of a difference. I'm pretty happy with my Android devices. You mentioned some good ones. The Moto X is the flagship. But, you know, I would actually look at, you could save money. I don't know if Cricket offers the E, which they just announced. Motorola just shipped the E. It's the second generation E. Remarkable battery life. Couple of days, a really good battery life. And that's because it's kind of lower end. The processor's not as fast. The screen's not as high res. It's only 4.5 inches. But I'll tell you the truth, it's pretty darn good. It has all the features of the G, most of the features of the X. And for $150 out the door, Now you're talking, you know, nothing. Now, it's a little light on memory. I think it's only 8 gigs. So one of the things that's hard, especially if you've never had a smartphone, is to judge how much storage. It's not RAM, by the way. It's storage am I going to need? And you know, what's interesting, that number's been going down because many of us no longer put all of our music or all of our TV on the phone. We stream that stuff. As long as you're within Wi-Fi or if you have a good deal on your 3G and 4G carriers bandwidth, you don't need to store stuff on your phone. It's only in the airplane or maybe while you're in the middle of nowhere that you need to do that. So I notice I don't use nearly as much storage. You can figure, even if you are crazy with applications, that probably you're not going to use more than 20 gigs in applications. I'm way under that on almost all my phones. So 8 gigs might be light for me, but like I said, I'm crazy about applications. I use an awful lot. So 8 gigs is fine for kind of the basic set of applications, not a lot of data. I have about 16, I'm just looking now, 16 gigs of apps. I also store books and audiobooks, especially on here, then that can add up. So it depends. If you want to do that kind of thing, then I wouldn't get a Moto E. I might get a G or an X. I think you'd want 32 gigs of storage minimum. 32 gigs of storage if you're going to start doing some of that stuff. 64 would be better, as I said. All of them will work with your car just fine. They all have Bluetooth, stereo Bluetooth. I like the OnePlus One. The negative on the One, a couple of negatives. First of all, it's not pure Android. It's something else. It's called Cyanogen, which is a modified, in some ways improved Android. The Motorola devices are pretty much clean Android. They don't have a lot of other stuff on there, and a lot of people prefer that. We're also a little worried about what's going to happen with OnePlus One. Their deal with Cyanogen seems to be running out, which means they're doing their own thing, their own operating system, and that's a little concerning since we don't have any track record doing operating systems. It'd be Android-based. So at least you'd get Android, but we don't know how they'd customize it. And that's a big question mark. The final problem with OnePlus is they're a Chinese company, and they don't really seem to have any support, or not much anyway. You have to send it back to them in China, and they don't seem too responsive. I've heard lots of complaints about them on support. I like the phone. I bought another one because it's just a great phone at a great price, and I figure at that price, well, if they don't have any support, I guess that's not the end of the world. But Motorola, which by the way is also made by a Chinese company, Lenovo. Those are good phones. I would, if you can wait a little bit, April 10th, 1 month from now, is when the Galaxy S6 comes out. Now that's a flagship phone worth calling a flagship phone. State of the art everything. Super fast. The fastest memory ever used in a smartphone, the fastest storage ever used in a smartphone, a very fast processor made by Samsung. That is probably the fastest processor out there. Question mark, because it's brand new, we don't know about battery life yet. So I actually, but I can't wait to get my hands on an S6. I'll give you a review. If you want to get something today, I have to think the Galaxy Note 4, if you want a big phone, is a great choice. And the Motorola X is a great choice if you want a littler phone. Battery life on the X, though, a little disappointing. Nice thing about the Galaxy Note, and this, by the way, is not going to be true of the S6. You could take the back off, get an extra battery, pop it in. That's what I do. I have two batteries. I just keep one charging. And if I go on the road, I can take it with me in my pocket. Thanks for the call. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I would have to recompile by application. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Martin in Santa Barbara. Leo Laporte here. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Leo. Big fan.
Thank you.
I had a question for you about running Lightroom on a MacBook Pro. I recently purchased an OMD EM5 camera.
Mm-hmm. Nice camera. Love that camera.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm into macro photography, so I'm getting into the Lightroom world.
Macro photography is when you shoot things kind of one-to-one at their own size. So if you're looking at a bug, it like fills the frame. You're real close. Or a flower.
Correct.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to ask you if you think Apple will release an upgrade to the MacBook Pros on their media event this Monday.
You know, we're all wondering if Apple will do anything else. I think not because, but you never know. You know, no one knows. It would be a good time to do that. What Apple was waiting for was the new Intel laptop chips, which did come out and at CES. And Dell and Lenovo and HP have all built Windows machines with these new chips. They're called the Intel 5th generation Intel core processors, or the code name was Broadwell. So I would expect Broadwell-based MacBooks soon. So maybe they will. Maybe they will. Or they will. I think they will imminently. The improvement, though, over the 4th generation isn't so much speed, maybe a few percentage points faster. It's better battery life.
Right. So, what about the I/O speeds with the new flash memory? Is that going to make a big difference with Lightroom?
Well, do you not have an SSD now?
No, I'm running a 2010 MacBook Pro right now with a traditional hard
drive. You'd see a big improvement. All the MacBook Pros have solid state devices, unless you specifically say not to, and that makes a huge difference. The problem is that you get less storage for your money. And Lightroom, which is a photo editing program, can take, you know, you're probably going to shoot raw, and those files are going to be big. You're going to have a lot. What I do when I use my laptop for photo editing is I only keep the current batch. In my case, because I don't take so many pictures, that's this year's. So, like, I have all the 2015 pictures on my laptop, and then at the end of each year, move them off. But you could do it monthly. You could do it at some reasonable time frame to an external drive, which you could access. And the nice thing about Lightroom is you can keep the thumbnails in there, so you know now where the files are. And should you want to edit that file, you double click on it and say, "Oh, you know, you need to put this hard drive in," and then you could continue to work with it. So
I have a Drobo that I purchased a few years ago.
Yeah, see, that's
so
what,
I use that for my external storage.
Yeah, that's very smart. I don't know. I often get asked, should I wait? And Apple, I'm the last person they tell, but they don't tell anybody, by the way. They're very secretive about this, as they should be. They understand that if they're not, people could stop buying laptops now. It's called the Osborne effect. A guy no longer with us named Robert Osborne made a great portable computer, the Osborne 1. It was selling like hotcakes until he announced that, oh, we got the new Osborne 2 coming. It'll be here in a few months. Everybody stopped buying the Osborne 1. The company went bankrupt because they killed. It's called the Osborne effect for a reason. He killed sales by pre-announcing. So Apple's learned that lesson very, very well, and they don't say anything. It's the watch is going to overshadow everything. It is a watch announcement on Monday, but they could. There's lots of things they could announce. A new iPad has been long rumored. They're due for updating the Apple TV, and yes, they are due for updating the MacBooks. I think the laptops probably will be updated in the next month or so, even if it's not at the event on Monday.
Okay, well, I think I'll just wait a couple months and stick with what I got now and wait for those upgrades.
Yeah,
and then make
if you can hang on, you'll certainly 2010 is old enough that it will be absolutely valuable, absolutely worth it. You'll get more than just that. You know, you'll get a lot of speed improvements and just more reliability. You know, it's always a good idea with laptops every few years, I think. Laptop lifetimes are not as lengthy because they get thrown around, frankly, unless you're extremely careful. Jennifer in Manhattan Beach, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jennifer. Are you there? Oh, I turned you off. Hi, Jennifer. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I'm enjoying the sunshine in Manhattan Beach.
Is it 80 degrees? Somebody says really warm in Southern California.
It is perfect.
Oh, you're making everybody in Michigan unhappy right now.
By the way,
Adam Osborne, not Robert Osborne. Robert Osborne's a host on Turner Classic Movies, and he's well alive and well. Adam Osborne, thank you, Mike B. What can I do for you, Jennifer?
I have a modern parenting question that I'm having difficulty getting answered. I have one preteen and two teenagers.
Okay.
And they, all three of them have school-required iPads. Everyone in our house has phones, so we have five phones. We have a desktop And I'm looking to control the devices at the router level. So if it's time for someone to go to bed I need to, you know, I mean.
You can do it. I'm going to tell you how.
Understand.
No, no, you don't have to explain to me. I have been a parent of teenagers myself. And they love to stay up all night if they could.
And I would have too. I would have too.
Sure.
And I want to control it at the router level. I have Verizon, and I was told by Verizon that I wouldn't be guaranteed my service would continue working because also, you know, we get our Wi-Fi or our on-demand, our cable through that. And if I got a different router that I might be able to control all that,
that
it would work.
And you have a Verizon brand router.
Because that's what they gave me so that I can use their service.
You're going to keep that. You got to.
Okay.
Because that's your modem. Is it Fios? Is it fiber or is it? Yeah.
It's Fios.
Yeah, you're going to keep that. You want it. But you also would like to be able to have a more secure router, a better router, faster router. So what you could do is keep the Verizon router as a hardwired router. Turn off the wireless part of it. And
how do I do that?
It's in the router configuration. Okay. I don't know if they gave you that information, but you can log into the router from any computer via browser.
Right. Okay, I remember seeing that.
And then you could get another router. I'd get the Apple AirPort Extreme.
Okay.
And plug it in, and that can be your Wi-Fi router. So you don't let the Verizon do the Wi-Fi. Now, I understand Verizon said, oh, this may not work. I don't see why it wouldn't. You're still going through the Verizon router.
Okay.
But they don't have to do the Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is Wi-Fi. Now, if you want to do that, there are access control lists inside the Apple router. But there's another way you could do this without a new router, and that is with a company called OpenDNS at opendns.com. And they have great parental controls, which I highly recommend, and I use with the kids.
Okay.
So you can look at OpenDNS. That would just change the router, the Verizon router settings. You'd be using their OpenDNS's DNS servers instead of Verizon's. That should not affect anything.
Okay. Do you think that it's better to use the Apple device instead of?
Well, the Apple gives you more capabilities. I use the Apple device to turn off the internet at 10 o'clock.
And that's what I want.
That was always fun.
Turn it off at 10.
Yeah, and it can turn it off for the kids, but not you. It has something
because we pay the bills.
Yeah, you get to stay up late. You're smart enough not to. It's they have something called ACL or Access Control List that will let you do that in the Apple router, and I love that. If you want more controls of the internet, OpenDNS will do that. But for just turning off the internet at night, and I love that because at 9:59, I'd look at my wife and I'd go, "Okay, ready," and then the clock would tick, and I'd hear, "Dad."
And that's what I hear, but I'm the bad guy because I'm the one.
You have to unplug it. Well, in this way, you can continue to use it. It just blocks the kids, which is...
Now, would that also work for... I have one kid that is an avid Microsoft follower. He's got a PC. Is that going to work for him?
Yeah. And the beauty is you've configured the router, but what you want to do is lock down their settings so they can't modify the settings on the computers. Make that... Those should be password protected. And of course, password protect the router. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
It worked.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Kind of an advanced surgery I recommended to our mom, our caller, who wanted to control the internet for her kids. So I maybe should explain a little bit of what that advanced surgery really is doing. So your internet router controls, of course, your access to the internet. And some, not all, but some internet routers have some nice features built in for controlling access. Some of them can just turn off the internet or turn it back on. In the case of the Apple router, you can have multiple schedules. And you can even attach different schedules to different computers. You do that by something called a MAC address, M-A-C. Not Macintosh. Predates Apple, actually. It's a unique identifier for anything connected to the network. It even predates... It doesn't have anything to do with the internet, even. So it's anything connected to the Ethernet network has a unique MAC address. The MAC address is a long, long number. The first part of the number is the manufacturer's number, and then the second part is the item number and so forth. in theory, everyone's unique. So when you sign into a Wi-Fi network, and you can verify this if you look at your Wi-Fi settings while you're signed in, each computer that's using that Wi-Fi network will be visible in a table on the router, and you'll be able to see the MAC address associated with it. So you can tell the router, all right, so this MAC address, it goes off at 10 p.m. My MAC address for my laptop, it stays on. That iPad, and iPad has it, iPhone, every device connected to the network has its unique address. Kids are smart. There are ways, perhaps, to get around this with something called MAC address spoofing. The kid can pretend to be mom's computer. I don't think that's going to happen. But it is important to password protect the router so that the kids can't get into its configuration, and to make sure they can't change their network settings. Because one thing they could do is use their smartphone as their internet access, and that's not controlled. You got to have to collect the smartphones, too, because they can just turn off Wi-Fi and use their smartphone connection. It's getting harder and harder these days. Really, really, while I, as the parent of teenagers, understand why it's helpful to have these automated controls like OpenDNS and routers, access controls, you also have to talk to the kids. Because really, as the kids get older, once they hit, 13, 14, 15, they've got friends. And even if they're not geeks, they have geeks for friends who can say, oh, yeah, here's what you do. And if they're sufficiently motivated, because didn't we take flashlights under the covers and read in the middle of, or listen to the ball game? I remember when I was a kid, this is how old I am, getting under the covers in 1969 and listening to the news reports of the roads to Woodstock being jammed for the Woodstock Festival. I remember that very well. And I also listened to some old-timey radio, Gene Shepherd. That's kind of a tradition, isn't it? And then of course, it's time to get up for school. And you go, and that's what mom's trying to get around. Dave in Chicago, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I am well. How are you?
Good. It's sunny, 45 in Chicago.
Nice. That's practically spring. Has Lake Michigan thawed yet?
Oh, no. It'll be a while for that.
Does that happen every year? Does it freeze every year like that?
Yeah, it does. They say, though, that this year was an exceptionally thick ice, so the spring will probably be a little bit cooler.
Ah.
It's going to take longer. But
yeah, it keeps the temperature down.
Yeah. So it's a mess, a huge mess. So, hey, I've got a Nexus 7, one of the original ones, and everything was running real well on it. And then back in, January, they came out with...
Lollipop, lollipop, lolly, lolly.
And I've been reading online that everybody, it's really hurt the old Nexuses.
Oh, is that true?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think you can restore it at this point. I think, unfortunately, when you upgrade to Lollipop on an Android device, even a complete wipe and restore, as I seem to remember, will go back to Lollipop.
I mean, I do see on the internet that you can hack into it and bring it back.
Yeah, you'd have to. I don't blame you. You'll have to root it, which is easy on Nexus devices. Google doesn't mind if you do that, so that's fairly easy. And then put a custom recovery in. Then you could choose the old firmware, and I would recommend stock.
My question though is can I expect another software upgrade coming that's going to correct these issues?
Well. If they push out a Lollipop to a device, they do it generally because they think the device can handle it. So it may be that there was something that they did that slowed it. Is it really slow? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's basically slow. And you go on the internet and everybody's complaining about it. And Google, what'd you do?
I would try first a system restore, which will put it back to Lollipop, but it'll clean it up. One of the things about those Nexus 7s, the solid-state drives in there were trim was not enabled, and so they really slowed down over time. It could be merely restoring it will fix it. And then, they are pushing updates. I think we're up to 5.02 now, so they do push things regularly. But try the System Restore. Maybe there'll be an update. It's not a big deal to unlock your phone, and then you can actually download 444 directly from Google, so you know it's a clean version. It'll take it right back to the way it was.
Okay, and go back to KitKat?
Yeah, whatever the version. I think KitKat is the one you want, yeah, 444.
Yeah, it was Lollipop.
If
I did want to get a new one, because Google doesn't make the 7 anymore. I like that size.
I know, I love the 7. In fact, I'm looking at one right now. I have the second generation. Yeah, Google's kind of backed off its Nexus program. They hardly have anything anymore. I guess they have a 9. Is that too big for you? You like the 7, huh?
Yeah, it just fits in the briefcase nice and things like that for traveling.
Well, there are lots of companies that make 7-inch Android tablets. I would stay away from the kind of no-name, really cheap Android tablets. But Samsung makes a 7-inch, I'm pretty sure. Lenovo does. They're all good. Samsung makes really good Android tablets. If the price isn't too high for you, I would go with a Samsung.
$189 at Costco for one right now.
Take it.
Yeah.
Take it. And then don't update it.
That's right. It does have 5.0 on it.
Yeah.
I looked at it.
I'm just saying when 6 comes out.
Yeah.
This is
3 years old now?
Yeah. No, it is. Exactly. You know, and it was $200 when you bought it.
Yeah, right.
I like the Samsungs, and I think I agree with you on 7-inch. For a lot of functions, 7 inches is just right.
Yeah, you can watch little movies on an airplane, and I really like the Android versus.
Me too. I am a big fan. I am too. I wrote a little program this week because I was always running out of time in the calls and having to go to commercials. So. You can't do this on an iPhone unless you become an Apple developer, and it's kind of complicated. But it's very easy to write little software programs for your Android device. So I just, in a couple of hours, whipped up a little program that tells me how much time I have left and flashes red at me when I'm running out of time. And it's something that Android really is open to that kind of thing, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So,
even there's a program that I can put my movies onto a thumb drive and plug it in and watch any movie.
Yeah, I think you'll like the Samsung. It has a USB to go and some other things that make it that even easier. So,
I think
I would go with that if I were you. Yeah, good choice. And it is a shame that Google pushed an update to a device. I think it's because it's a Nexus. Some of the promise of the whole point of Nexus is the Google promises to keep it up to date. And unfortunately, in this case, it really wasn't able to handle the update at all. And you're not alone, apparently. Somebody in the chat room said the same thing. Slow as molasses. NVIDIA makes a very nice, I don't know if they make a 7-inch, but NVIDIA's Shield is a great tablet with lots of juice. Highly recommend that. Well, my little program tells me I have 64 seconds left, so let me tell you the website. See, Nathan's going to love this. Our musical director, I'm going to be on time from now on, Nathan. Our website is techguylabs.com. That's where you can go. Everything I mentioned, we'll put links there. James DeRuvo's writing it down. Josh Windisch will do the same when we finish the show, and he'll add audio and video and chunk it up into shows and then hours, and then each hour has questions, and you can go to like question 4 from hour 3 or whatever. Watch it, listen to it, see the written answer, and most importantly, add your own in the comments. That's very valuable if you do that. That website, and that's all you need to remember. The phone number's there, the chat room's there, everything's there. That website is techguylabs.com. Phone number 8888-ASK-LEO. Heather Hammond's taking your calls, and we're going to get back to the phones in just a bit, answer some more questions. I am Leo Laporte. See, now I have to stall. The Tech Guy. News is next. Yes. Worked perfectly. My dreams have come true. And now we're blue for 524 seconds. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Phone number 8888-ASK-LEO. I forgot to mention, Scott Wilkinson, who normally joins us, is off today. He would have been here last hour, but taking the day off, our home theater expert. He'll be back next week. Phone number 8888-ASK-LEO. I can answer a few home theater questions, too. Scott and I pretty much see eye to eye on a few things. I was right about 3D. He liked 3D. I don't like it. I was right about that. He's a big proponent of not just surround sound, which I like. I'm not against surround sound. I don't think it adds as much to the experience as people say, but, you know, I understand. That's nice. But he also likes the idea of Dolby Atmos sound, which has sounds coming from above you. That maybe I don't agree with him on that. But other than that, in every other respect, Scott and I agree, and I can answer your questions too. 888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. Our next call from Sean in Burbank. Hi, Sean.
Leo. Hey, LaPorte. Leo. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm very good. Listen, I've got a computer, a desktop that I built for myself a couple years ago.
Nice.
And well, yeah, I guess. And it's running Windows 7 32-bit. Now, what happens is I recently bought from work. I got a good deal on a used HP TouchSmart. I don't know, like 6 years old computer.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so the first thing I do when I get this thing home is I make a restore disk. And now this thing's running Windows 7 64-bit. And I'm thinking, hey, I've got a restore disk with 64-bit.
Yeah.
So what are the drawbacks, if any, of you know, using this restore disk on this computer that I built myself?
You can't, because the disk you made is tied by Microsoft to that computer.
So okay.
It's not a normal Windows install disk. So right. Microsoft's, we talked about this last week, they're crazy paranoid about piracy. They really feel like, you know, we're all a bunch of thieves, and given half a chance, we're just going to install Windows on 8 different computers. So they have I think 3 different copy protection measures built into Windows, one of which, Windows Genuine Advantage, which is very euphemistically named. It's worthy of George Orwell. It's really a disadvantage, but okay. Windows Genuine Advantage checks the hardware and registers a serial number to the hardware. And if you change the hardware, it's not going to – it'll say this is not a registered copy of Windows, not authorized copy of Windows. And you won't be able to
authorize
it.
I see. So I won't even be able to use my computer. Okay. Well, yeah. That's – all right.
Now, let me reassure you, though. 6432 doesn't make any difference. It's a big – you know, that's – there is one difference.
Yeah, the only difference is the RAM, right?
Yeah. That 64 can address more than 4 gigabytes of RAM. Do either of your machines have more than 4 gigabytes?
At the moment, no.
No. So what do you care? 32 is fine.
Okay.
That's the only advantage. What they're talking about, when they talk about 32-bit chip versus a 64-bit chip, what they're talking about is the size. To understand this, you need to understand the kind of the architecture of a computer processor. It's not that complicated, actually. Computer processors are really quite simple. They look like they're doing a lot of work, even like they're thinking, because they do it so darn fast. Millions and millions of operations a second. And even though each operation is dumb, like addition, subtraction, early processors didn't even do division. They just subtracted fast. They didn't do multiplication. They just added fast. You want 6 times 4? I'll just add 6 plus 6 plus 6 plus 6 really fast. It'll look like I'm multiplying. Literally. So more modern processors now have division. They now have multiplication. But so they have a unit, a code unit that's doing the work. It gets an instruction and does the work. But if you think about it, a processor also has to have a place to put 6 and put the instruction. And those are called registers. And processors have multiple registers, little storage areas. If they're going to add a number, they'll put the first number in the register and the second number in the register, and then they'll add them, and the result will end up in the first register. That kind of thing. Just a little memory storage. The difference between a 64-bit processor and a 32-bit processor is the size of that register. That's all. That's all. Size of that register. It's 64 bits, it can hold 8 bytes. It's 32 bits, it can only hold 4 bytes. Most of the time, that doesn't really matter. For instance, in word processing, 4 bytes is plenty. No character needs more than 4 bytes to represent it. It only really needs 2 bytes. So you don't... Most of the stuff that you do text, even most of the calculations you do, 32 is plenty. The one thing you might want 64 is the size of that register determines how much memory can be addressed. because each memory location has to have its own number. And the bigger that number can be, if it can be 64 bits, that means you can address more memory. You run out with 32-bit sized memory addresses. You run out at 4 gigabytes. You just can't. You can't have more than that. So, and I'm simplifying this dramatically, but this is basically what it is. So with 64, you can address much more than twice, by the way, because it's exponential. You can address a huge amount more. You can do the math in your head. So more RAM, that's it. That's all. It's not faster. In fact, in many cases, 64-bit operations are slower than 32-bit operations. So say, you do have a 64-bit processor, but if the operating system is 32-bit, it's just not going to use all of that extra space, and it doesn't need it. For most of what it does, it doesn't need it. There are a few operations where you're operating on a mass amount of data. For instance, let's say you've got a game and you've got a blue sky and you want to suddenly turn it gray. Well, you're going to operate on a huge amount of that data. That blue sky takes up a lot of data space. The bigger the chunks, the faster you can do it. So for some things, it is faster. And that's a very approximate understanding of the difference. Tom in Missoula, Montana. In other words, don't worry about it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Got a question for you. A buddy of mine, his wife passed away recently from acute myeloid leukemia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And while she was in the hospital, you know, for 2 months going round after round of treatment, there was a lot of texting going back and forth. And so she passed away, and he wants to be able to keep all those texts that were sent between the two of them without having to necessarily go in and copy and paste.
Yeah.
One from a 4 to a 4S.
If it was using Apple's messages, he might have those. If he has a Macintosh or an iPad, he might have those messages there as well.
Oh, okay.
I don't. A 4 may not be, but that would be the first place to look. The other company that can do it is his phone company, the carrier.
Okay.
I believe they keep copies of all the text messages. And I think you could ask them, hey, can I get a copy?
Okay.
I don't know if anybody's done that in the chat room, has actually called the phone company. I don't know how hard that is, you know, but that would be one way to do it. There may be software. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, I doubt there is on the iPhone, because the iPhone, for security reasons, Apple really puts big walls between applications. So I don't know if there'd be an application you could get that would do that. There is one called, the chat room's telling me, called iExplorer from MacroPlant. The ultimate iPhone, iPad, and iPod manager. It looks like it might, in fact, you hook it up by the cable, and you might be able to, it says export iPhone text messages. Look at that. Look at that. So,
you got to love the chat room.
Boy, the chat room's great. I would have thought you couldn't do this just because Apple would not let a third-party application do that, but apparently you can. There may be some limitations, so I'd look carefully, but it looks like it can. Be worth downloading a trial version anyway and see.
All right, great. Well,
thanks for the call.
So
yeah, my deepest sympathy to your buddy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, our show today brought to you by Prosper. I should mention this before the show wraps up, because I'm a big fan of Prosper. Prosper.com, place to go to get a loan. It's a kind of a little internet miracle. In the old days, if you needed money and you needed it fast, you could go to friends or family. But that's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? You could go to a bank, but that's hard and work, and you got to put on a tie. And, you know, or you could charge it to your credit cards. But if you don't pay it back fast, you're going to be paying a lot of interest. Frankly, Prosper really fills this need. It's the place to go for a low fixed rate loan. See, Prosper is a marketplace bringing people who have money to lend together with people who need to borrow. At Prosper, you can borrow up to $35,000 in as few as 5 days. And you can, you know, use the money for pretty much anything you want. High rate credit cards, pay them off. Fix up the house, you bet. Put it in your business. Prosper's online marketplace connects people who need money with those who want to invest. It's a great idea. It's one of the ways the internet is really changing the world. Don't rack up more debt on your credit cards. Pay them off with Prosper. Now, here's how you can find out what your rate will be and how much you can borrow. Just go to prosper.com/twit. It's a very simple form. They're not going to ask you for a lot of personal information. It will not affect your good credit. Prosper.com/twit and see what your rate is. For a limited time, when you get a loan from Prosper, Prosper's offering you a $50 Visa gift card. A low-interest fixed-rate loan and a $50 Visa gift card. This is a good deal. Up to $35,000 in your account is as few as 5 days, and the $50 Visa gift card await at prosper.com/twit, prosper.com/twit, for a special offer just for you Tech Guy listeners. We thank Prosper for supporting the Tech Guy podcast. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. How do I sound now, Nathan? Am I nice? I sound good, huh? All right. I do have a piece of salad on my tooth, though. Can they tell that at the Network Operations Center? Okay, good. 8888, ask Leo. A tip of the hat, actually, to the guys at the, we call it the NOC, the Network Operations Center, who make this show work so smoothly. We got Nathan Staten on the board and running the music, but then upstairs, I always think of him as upstairs, because it's the NOC. It should be upstairs, right? Those engineers there tweaking the dials, making sure everything sounds good, and putting it up on the bird. That's what they call that satellite, the bird, so that all of our radio stations up and down the line can hear the show. So thank you, a tip of the hat. They are unsung heroes of modern broadcasting. Vicky, oh, she just hung up. I was just about to pick her up. She heard her name and went, woo! Michael in West L.A., Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Leo, help.
Help me.
Help me. But, oh, you do sound great, by the way.
Thank you.
Your lung
thank the knock.
On hold.
Knock, knock.
Knock, knock. Facebook has me pulling my hair out, and I'm not going to look as good as you did after you shaved your head.
You noticed my hair got shorter. That's Facebook. Thank you. Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I'm disabled, and I wrote a graphic novel that has to do with disability and acceptance of those who are perceived to be different. And
first of all, let's give you a big plug for that. Where can I get that? That sounds great. Every school should have a copy.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point where trying to raise funds on Kickstarter and Facebook is just making it impossible.
Well, so what's your Kickstarter page? What should I search for?
Oh, well, the best thing to do, I guess, if it's okay to give the site out.
Yeah.
Sure. It's actually makingfreaks.com.
I like the name, makingfreaks.com.
It's based on the making of the 1932 film.
Oh, yeah.
Humanities is the cast, and it's the tagline for the project is being different is only human.
Oh, I love it. So you have a graphic novel, and I see you're raising money on Kickstarter. That's awesome. So you obviously would want to promote your Kickstarter on Facebook, right?
Exactly. And in a short time, we've got over 2,000 likes. I mean, in about 6 or 7 weeks. But according to Facebook reach information, hardly any of our 2,000 are receiving our posts.
This is a very common issue with Facebook. So you would assume that if I follow or like you, let's say you're my brother, and I say, yeah, I want to follow my family, you would assume that all of my family's posts would show up in the timeline.
That's what I thought.
Not so. And it's even worse for brands, for likes. Because Facebook uses an algorithm to pick. It wants to make the timeline better. Now, the problem is, I think most people who use Facebook just figure, well, I'm sure I'm seeing everything. And you're not. You're not even close to seeing everything. Because Facebook decides based, especially with brands, based on the content, the number of likes, the number of interactions, engagements, the number of comments, what to put in the timeline. And it has never revealed how it does this, except to say that it's changing all the time. And I don't know of any way to guess or get around it. You can ask people who like you to change their news feed from the normal news feed setting to chronological. So that is chronological, I believe, although I'm not a Facebook expert, that when you set it for chronological, you're seeing everything. So you see the normal is top stories. And that's those are the fudge words. What makes something a top story? I don't know. But exactly. It's not every story. Most recent will then put your timeline as chronological, but nobody sets it to that. And so you can't count on your likers to see your stuff. And that's why they give you these reach statistics. They probably in the reach statistics will give you hints as to how to prove the number of views. One of the hints, guess what? Buy Facebook ads.
That's right. That's what we've been doing.
And don't they say that a lot? Hey, you know, if you'd like this post to reach more people, pay us.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's, like, not affordable, really.
And truth is, as useful a platform as Facebook is, no one should rely on it because you don't control it. Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg control it, and they decide what. And their interest, by the way, is not in promoting your brand or helping you promote your brand. That's not their interest. Their interest isn't even in promoting me seeing my brother's posts. Their interest is making me use Facebook more. So what they are trying to do is make my timeline as compelling and interesting as possible and as constantly changing as possible. So I'll keep coming back and reading it, engaged. They want to increase the amount of engagement and the amount of time spent on the site. That has nothing to do with your goals.
Right.
The only way that your goals and their goals match is when you give them money.
Right. Yeah, they're a business. That's right.
Well, and I think that they're a business that has made a kind of implicit promise that they're not keeping, which is that if you follow your friends and family on Facebook, you'll see what they're up to. But that's not what's happening.
Part.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I mean, this is a huge help. And
you can tell your end users things like, you know, sort by most recent or turn on notifications from pages you like, things like that. But you have that's a behavior change on their part, not on your. It's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this is great. Wow.
It's good to know. Use Twitter. Twitter doesn't yet do that, although they're making sounds about doing it too. Right now, when you post on Twitter, everything, because, you know, everybody who follows you will see it if they're on Twitter at that time.
Right, right. We're on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
I just thought that.
And you're doing the main thing, which is you have your own website. And I can't underscore this enough for a business, for individuals. You got to have a website you control and you own, because ultimately you can't be sure that, you know, Facebook or Twitter or Google Plus or LinkedIn or anybody will make sure your stuff shows up. It's not their. That's not their. Their business model may not be yours.
Well, all right. Well, I'll stop pulling my hair out now that I understand.
Well, but we want to give you a big plug because I love this idea. I really think this is a great idea for schools. Making Freaks, MAKING Freaks.com. We'll put that in the show notes. And if you're a teacher, you might want to take a look. I think this would be. You know, first of all, kids love graphic novels. It makes it easy for them to read. And what a great idea to sensitize them to differences in people. I love that idea. So good job. And I'm glad you did you have a beautiful site.
Thanks. It was a learning curve, but we got it done.
Is that running on Blogger? Where is that? Or WordPress?
WordPress. We did WordPress.
Did a nice job. And that's the most important thing is that this you always will have, and you can point people to it. You hope people will find it. Google will find it. And, you know, you just promote the heck out of it. Good luck. That's a great idea. But don't count on Facebook. Just don't count on nobody. Don't count on count on one thing. Facebook's going to make money. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Mr. Johnny Jett, you heard that music. That means Johnny Jett's here. He wasn't here last week because he was in pain. Hi, Johnny Jett. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be back.
You got shingles?
I got shingles from too much travel. I think I was just worn down.
Wait a minute. So from too much travel, you can get shingles?
Well, it's from stress. And so I wasn't getting a lot of sleep. I was in my hotel in Miami was like a nightclub. I couldn't get any sleep there. I changed rooms three times in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. They're supposed to be like night. They're supposed to be party.
Then my dad's flight was 7 hours delayed. He got in at 5 o'clock. At 4:45 in the morning, it kept changing, so I was up all night.
Oh, so you got exhaustion, is what you got.
Got exhaustion, and then I went and spoke at the LA Travel Show, and few days later, I had this nasty earache, and it went to the doctor, and I told him that my forehead felt really funky.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he put me on a prescription. So just, he said, just in case something pops up, it sounds like shingles. And sure enough, he was right. And I've been very fortunate because I got on the medicine early. But
I heard it could be very painful. Yeah,
it's very painful. And so anyway, I actually wrote a post on it and did very well. And one of the things I wrote about was, what if I had travel insurance, which I do have travel insurance, by the way, but I have a year-long policy that I recommend for anyone who travels a lot. You can get a year-long one. But I sent it to my the people who I work with Allianz Travel Insurance. And if it happened on the road, it actually probably would have been cheaper for me because I wouldn't have to pay any of these payments. I had to go to them when I had to go to an ophthalmologist because it was close to my eye.
Wow.
I had to go twice.
Wow.
So anyway, I have an app that would help if anything like this happens to you while you're on the road. And the app is called Travel Smart.
Travel Smart.
Yep. And it's actually by Allianz. It's free. It's on Android, iOS. And what I like about it is that there's a few different things I like about this app. First of all, it will tell you the 911 number for every country because it's 911.
Yeah, it's not 911, is it? No.
Yeah, no, the emergency number. It's not right. Universal. Like a lot of Americans think 911 is universal. It's not. So one thing, it will tell you whatever country it is, the emergency number. Two, what I really like is a drug dictionary. So you can just type in whatever drug you are, and it will tell you the international name. And that's happened to me before. I was in Japan. I had really bad allergies, and I was trying to tell them what I was looking for, and they had no idea. And then the other thing about this app, which is cool, is I do have a language translator for it, for the drugs in multiple languages and first aid terms, which is key. So, you know, I would not have known this was shingles, but, you know, the key to having shingles, first of all, there's a vaccine that you can get. It's not guaranteed that you won't get it, but I would definitely look into it. And also getting on the medicine right away. I got on Valtrex within an hour. And that really helped.
So what's the app again?
Travel Smart.
Travel Smart. Sounds like it's more than just medical stuff.
There's actually also it gives you a list of all the hospitals but all around the world, although I don't love this list.
But it's from Allianz. It's from the company that sold you the travel insurance.
Exactly. And I just emailed them because my doctor said I should take it easy, so I canceled my trip to Vegas for tomorrow. And it turns out that I'm covered. And so I'm going to get my money back for the flights.
Oh, that's nice.
So all I need to do is have a doctor's note. But, you know, if you travel a lot or if you spend a lot of money on a big trip, like a safari, honeymoon, anything like that, you definitely want to get travel insurance. Or if, you know, if God forbid you get hurt, you break a leg or something, or you need to be air ambulance back. An air ambulance, let's say from Japan to here, would be $140,000. But
yikes.
if you have travel insurance, you know, it's worth it. So just definitely look into it. But you got to read the fine print and do not buy travel insurance from the same party. Let's say you're going on a cruise. They're going to offer you travel insurance. Don't buy it from the cruise company.
Why not?
Because if you buy it from them and they go out of business, you're out of luck.
Yeah, because then that's what the insurance might – one of the things the insurance covers – the cruise line goes out of a business. Right.
Always buy it from a third party. I actually like insuremytrip.com because they're kind of like the Kayak of travel insurance. There's 27 different companies, but the one I recommend is Allianz, since these guys have offices in 34 different countries. They have, you know, men on the ground in 6 different continents. So chances are they will have someone there and they can really help. And then I got another app for you.
That's your travel app. Here's another travel app.
This one's Flipagram. This actually, I had this in my notes because 2 weeks ago you wanted me to talk about it. So
what is it?
So Flipagram's great for anyone who travels a lot. You can, you know, it's an easy way to tell a story with your photos.
Oh.
And you can put music, you know, any song you want, basically. And it will let you keep it up for 15 or actually 30 seconds or less. And then the way they make money is because
you want more than 30 seconds, right?
Well, no, or if you don't have, or if you like the song, you can buy it on iTunes right from their app. And if you want it, you know, sometimes someone might put a song on their app or their thing and you can't hear it. So you have to buy it.
Yeah.
It's pretty brilliant, but it's so cool because you can easily crop a photo or edit. And I just threw one up. I made one last night. It literally took me 15 minutes, and it's pretty cool. And it's just a great way to show your photos you know, remember your trip or share it with your friends. You can share it on Twitter, Facebook,
Where'd
whatever.
You put your Flippagram on JohnnyJet.com?
Actually, no, Flippagram.com.
Oh, it has its own site. I get it.
Its own site. Or if you go to Twitter.
Johnny's tweeted it. Tweeted it.
I tweeted that.
Tweeted it. Flippagram.com/JohnnyJet.
Yeah, Johnny Jet is mine.
Oh, neat. So it's like Instagram, only it's movies or something.
You can do videos or you can do photos. And can you hear the music, by the way, or do you not?
No, I have to pay for it. Oh, no, there it is.
No. Oh, okay.
You chose that?
It was on my...
Britney Spears? Really? You chose Britney Spears?
You know, it was... I don't know how I got there. I'm going to blame that one on my wife.
I'm going to take your man card away from you. You keep that up now. No, this is great. It's a great slideshow of pictures from Thailand. It's beautiful. And Cambodia.
Cambodia,
but, yeah, that's great.
It's easy. You can do it. You know, obviously, you do it from your phone. It will literally take minutes, and it's a lot of fun.
I've been using a program called Flippagram's Android and iOS, which is nice. I've been using an iOS only program called Storehouse. You should check it out.
Storehouse.
It lets you do very elaborate stories, but it's iOS only. So, but nice pictures from Cambodia. Those are great.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Johnny Jet is on JohnnyJet.com. That's his website. He helps you get the most out of travel. We talk apps. We talk websites each week on the radio show. You'll find them all at his website. And you also, besides reading the website, you should subscribe to Johnny's free travel newsletter because he's always got great travel deals.
I specialize in deals. And
deals
and,
are
and
me.
Tips, and tips. And I'm and one quick plug, I'm speaking next week in Austin at South by Southwest.
So
if you're going to be around next Sunday, I'll be at the Trippet Tent.
At the Trippet Tent at South by Southwest in Austin, which is coming up. Look for Johnny. Say hi. His shingles will be gone by then, so you can shake his hand.
Yes. I'll just
actually,
do a fist
Are they
bump.
Catching? They're not catching, are they?
You know, my doctors all tell me something differently. They say stay away from pregnant women and also stay away from...
Well, you don't want to give them shingles, that's for sure.
If you haven't had chicken pox, I could give it to them. But the only way you can get it is if I touch it. And basically,
never mind.
Put my
Don't
finger
touch
in their
me.
Mouth.
Stay away. JohnnyJet.com. Follow on Twitter, Instagram, Flippagram, whatever gram you like. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
I hope you feel better. We'll catch you next week. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. More of your calls right after this. Thank you, Johnny Jet. Hope you feel Harry the Dirty Dog. Is that a book?
Yeah.
Is that your?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite kids' books.
Oh. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. We'll put the Travel Smart and Flippagram, Johnny's apps of the week in our show notes. TechGuyLabs.com, the website. Great place to keep in mind if you shouldn't have to write stuff down. You just. All you got to remember, TechGuyLabs.com. Tech Guy, I'm the Tech Guy. It's my labs. It's you. Just imagine me in a lab coat with goggles, and I've got beakers. TechGuyLabs.com. Simple. Let's go back to the phones, and Vicky is on the line from Anaheim. Vicky, I was just about to pick you up a moment ago, and you disappeared. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I am well. What can I do for you?
I have been waiting the longest time for you today. You must be worth it.
Well, I hope so. Now, talk about putting me on the spot. Okay.
I have a Mac computer, and it keeps on showing that I have an upgrade or update for Yosemite.
Yes.
What I do on my Mac is I'm a private investigator, so what I do is I download my videos in iMovie, and then I make the DVD on iDVD.
Mm-hmm.
I am so afraid to upgrade. Maybe I will lose my iMovie and iDVD. Is that possible?
No, you won't. But you will not. But the good, and you could, because, for instance, the latest version of Yosemite, which is coming out soon, will delete iPhoto and replace it with Photos. So I understand your concern. But in general, if you're using something in a production environment and work relies on it, your livelihood relies on it, always be slow to do updates.
Okay.
Your inclination is right. There's nothing wrong with Mavericks, which is what you're using right now, I presume, the previous version. At some point, you'd love to update to Yosemite, but I would do it, I don't know. I wouldn't be in a rush to do it. Maybe when you're in between cases or during vacation, just in case. Just in case.
Oh, okay.
Because Apple does not make iDVD anymore. They do continue to do iMovie. They did change it a lot. I don't know if you were bit by the changes that they made.
No, I don't upgrade anything on iMovie or iDVD because I'm afraid I will lose it.
Yeah, you're smart. And iDVD is gone. So I think you're probably wise not to upgrade. I don't think it will affect those. I don't believe it. It does not normally erase an existing program. But these are programs from Apple, and there is some history for Apple deleting a program and replacing it with something better that isn't better or wouldn't be necessarily better for you. So I would ignore the request to update, at least for a little bit longer. The upgrade is free. There are some nice new features, I think, and it's worth upgrading to Yosemite. It's not that Yosemite isn't rock solid, because they're currently in, I think, version 2 or 3 of it. They've updated it a number of times. Nevertheless, it's probably, given that this is the thing that you rely on for your livelihood, prudent not to make any massive changes. And an upgrade to the operating system like that is a big change.
Because I'm not upgrading, would it slow down my computer?
No.
I don't do
that. No, I don't think so. There are improvements. There are security improvements, which are probably something to pay attention to. Nothing dramatic or drastic, but there are security improvements, it has a new look. I presume that under the hood, Apple has sped things up. It should be faster. So do it at a time when you can afford to, take a few days.
I cannot.
Can't do it now. It wouldn't be a good time.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's 7 years. I have to keep it all.
Yeah. The other thing you can do, of course, and you should be doing, is back it up. And what I would bet...
I have Carbonite.
Good.
Carbonite.
But here's another thing I would do. Go out and get a hard drive that's identical in size to the one you've got or bigger, at least as big as the one you've got inside. And then using a program called Super Duper, make a bootable copy of your internal drive. Now, if your internal drive dies, you plug in this external drive and you boot to it and you're exactly where you were. In fact, you could keep that drive plugged in and have Super Duper keep it up to date. You'd have, in effect, a duplicate of the internal drive. And that's great, because hard drives are going to die. If you're relying on that computer, you better have a bootable copy. It's not merely backup of the data. That's good. But a bootable copy that you can just reboot the machine in and you're going.
And then it will also do my iMovie and
if you decide, okay, I got to upgrade, I feel like I want to try the new thing, you can unplug the Super Duper backup, install Yosemite on the main drive, see if everything works fine. If it does, then go back to backing up.
Oh, okay. So I will get Super Duper.
Yeah, Super Duper's free. There's a paid upgrade that gives you a few extra features. You don't need it. Current version of Yosemite is 10.10.2, and it is good. There are a lot of good features in it, but I wouldn't do it unless you have an image copy, a bootable backup.
Okay.
All right.
So I will get Super Duper.
Yes.
Bootable backups.
Yes.
And put all my iMovie and
And get an external drive. And Super Duper, you can make a bootable copy of the internal drive on the external drive. And now you can even put that aside. And I would keep it up to date. That way you'll always have everything on it. And if the hard drive internally dies and you're working a case, and you got the perp on the run and the internal drive dies, you just boot up from the other one and you're good.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and you were worth me waiting for.
See, Vicky, it is okay to wait. I know it takes a long time. It's because, Because I take a long time with everybody. I apologize.
No, you are very good. I listen to you I am a first-time caller, but I've been listening to you for years.
Is your accent South African? I'm trying to place it.
I am from Nairobi, Kenya.
Kenya. Beautiful place.
That's why I like Johnny Jack. I love.
You're a traveling PI.
I'm an international PI.
International PI. Wow.
Yes, I speak 7 languages.
Holy
so I
cow.
Get jobs all over the place.
Isn't that wonderful?
Well, yes, I love it.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Vicky.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for
you
calling.
You have a wonderful day.
I appreciate it. I wasn't even close, as we've just learned from Johnny Jet. Sean in Oxnard, California, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Leo. Love
Welcome.
Your show.
Ah, nice to talk to you.
It started about a week, 2 weeks ago. I had a problem with my iPhone 5S.
Mm-hmm.
It locked. Well, I shouldn't say locked. It popped up one night and said on the unlock screen where you go to unlock it and get into it, it said activation required. And I swipe it over, and it tells me that I need to get to a Wi-Fi area or...
You've used it, right? This is not a new phone.
Yeah, this is I got it like months ago.
Who's your carrier?
AT&T.
I'm wondering if maybe the SIM card fell out or something. So the activation you do is when you get a brand new iPhone, you've never used it before, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. And it connects up with AT&T and goes, yes, blah, 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 blah. Okay, this is his phone, and here's his phone number. But it shouldn't do that after the fact unless something went wrong. It could be that the SIM card got messed up or fell out or got loose or got fried. That has happened. When I got my phone wet, the SIM card short-circuited badly. It looked like it had caught on fire. So that's possible.
I haven't dropped it or anything. I haven't had it any near any water.
Yeah, but I'm just saying something's happened, obviously.
Yeah.
Have you tried activating it?
I'm using it now. It's working now.
Okay.
But
so you did what it said and it worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is it still?
I'm just afraid it'll do it again, and I'm not sure if there's any fix for it. I looked online, and there was a post saying you can turn off Find My Phone, and that was the only real solution that I found in all the posts. No one's posted anything other than that.
I think you're fine. I think what happened is the SIM card jostled, or something strange happened. You know, there's probably, with activation, probably sets a bit somewhere, right? If that bit accidentally got flipped, it would say, oh, he needs activation. You've reset it. I don't anticipate that happening very often. I think it was a strange occurrence.
Well, it did do it twice.
Oh, it did it twice.
Before. Yeah.
I would say, here's what I would do. If you really want to make sure it doesn't happen again, I'd go to the AT&T store, explain that happened, and say, I'd like a replacement SIM card. I think the SIM card might be flaky. And they at no charge, they'll just give you a new one with the same number and everything. I would guess that's what's wrong.
Okay, and then all I need to do is just hook it up to the computer and...
You don't even have to do that. You just put in the new SIM card. Yeah, you probably don't. They can activate it for you, and then you're gone. What they have to do is they have to change your IMEI in your account, associate it to the new SIM card. Actually, the IMEI is the same, but associate that to the new SIM card. They can do that there. I would do that. It sounds like that's probably what's going on if it happened twice. Good luck. Out of time. Going to take more of your calls. Another hour to come. And yes, we're going to keep taking calls all afternoon. Pre-recording, so if you can't get through, hang on. We will take everybody on the phone in the next few hours. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This thing is a miracle. It's a miracle. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number, 888-827-5536. We talked at the beginning of the show about Monday. That's a big day for Apple fans. It's kind of a state holiday when Apple makes another announcement. Well, we had one in September. We had one in October. September, they announced new iPhones. October, new iPad. And we're pretty sure, based on the invite that went out to TAME members of the press, I'm not on that list, but to the TAME members of the press, that it's a watch announcement, because the invite says spring forward. And, well, you know, tomorrow we are springing forward. We do begin daylight savings time in the United States, March 8th. So the day after, Apple's going to announce, we think, the watch. They may announce other stuff, as we were talking about. Maybe they'll announce new MacBook computers, laptops. They are certainly due The new chipset is here, and it's been a while, and Apple usually does revise the laptops when there's a new chipset, so I expect that. But mostly we're going to find out about the Apple Watch. We'll know what it costs, and we'll know when it's available. Tim Cook has said in the past, April. So don't expect to run out to the store Monday night and get one. I think it'll be more likely, you know, first week of April, something like that. And we don't know how expensive. We only know the cheap one, the so-called cheap one. The least expensive watch will be $350. And that includes, I think, a cheap band, and there will be band upgrades. They're going to have all kinds of different bands for the different watches, three different models. Somebody's asking in the chat room, does the Apple Watch mean that I can use Apple Pay? Yes, it does, if you have a recent model iPhone. I think anything from the iPhone 5 or later will now work with Apple Pay. So that's very good news. The watch itself has NFC built into it. And that means that they'll be able to use that to tap those terminals for Apple Pay. So if you go to apple.com/watch, you can see what, you know, Apple has announced already, which is quite a bit. What it does, health and fitness capabilities. It's got a stem that you twist and pull and push. It has a display that you can press on. There are three models. There's the Sport, the Watch, and the Watch Edition. Sport will be the $350 one with the fluorescent plastic band. Unknown whether there'll be a difference in internals, whether they'll have more memory. Some of the rumors are 8 gigabytes of memory, enough to store quite a bit of music as you run down the road, so you might not need to carry your phone with you. I think the price is going to be very interesting, because some people are saying that the gold one, the most expensive, the edition, could be as much as $10,000. Ah. You do need an iPhone 5 or later to use an iWatch or Apple Watch. In fact, Apple's leaked materials for the sales force say, gently encourage your customer to upgrade their phone. Just a little bit. I think Apple Pay is an important reason if you do have an older iPhone, but you're going to want to get a newer iPhone eventually to take advantage of all the features of the Apple Watch, I think. But I believe it's my understanding that you will be able to use Apple Pay with any phone that works with the Apple Watch, and that is the Apple iPhone 5 or later. There you go. Everything I know. Which is not much. We'll find out more on Monday. Deanna in Las Vegas, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Better.
Well, I'm glad you're on with me now, because I'm ready to do some technology therapy.
I'm trying to go back to school. I'm currently disabled, and I'm trying to go back to school so I can get a degree and get off the disabled list.
Right on. That's great.
So,
what do you want to study?
Psychology.
Nice.
But I've had laptops since 2005, and every year I have to get a new one because they crash on me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they don't last forever. I mean, that is true. 10 years is a long time.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't afford much because I'm on disability.
I would look at, if I were you, there are a couple of choices. Because you don't have a lot of money, an Apple device is out of the question, unfortunately.
I don't like Apple.
I don't like them anyway. So a couple of things. They do make very inexpensive and I think decent, not great, but decent Windows laptops at around $200 to $300. I would look at the HP Stream.
Okay.
$200 is pretty good. The more expensive, the bigger the screen, the more expensive they are. So they range from 11 inches to 13 inches in screen size. And I'd get the biggest screen you can afford because it just makes it easier to use.
Well, with my vision, I need something that's at least 17 inches.
Now you're challenging me. 17 is awfully big. You know what you might think about is buying an HP Stream but getting an external monitor that's bigger.
Okay.
You can do that with most laptops. You can hook up a monitor, and the monitor is going to add $300, $200 or $300 to the cost. But you're not going to get a 17-inch laptop for less than $600. So.
Okay. Well, I have a budget of about $500 to $600 plus $200 for extra insurance.
There are not a lot of companies that make 17-inch laptops anymore. That market is disappeared since you bought your last laptop. I believe Lenovo does. I'm sure Dell does. I wouldn't go to Lenovo these days because they had a little problem with putting some junk on their computers. It was a little disappointing. Let me see what Dell, how big you can get a Dell.
I'd like it to be touchscreen if possible, but I don't know if that's reasonable for my price range.
Well, it might not be.
I've seen some HPs at Walmart that are interesting, but I don't know enough about the touchscreens to know what I'm doing.
I think with Windows 8, touchscreen is useful, and perhaps with your disability, it might be necessary. I don't know. Is it hard to use a mouse?
No. Right. I prefer the mouse on the laptop anyway.
Okay. Touch is nice, but I'm not sure that you'll be able to afford it. It's more important probably that you get the big screen than you get touch.
Okay.
So I like Dell. I like Lenovo. HP's okay. They do have these inexpensive streams, but there's nothing that big. That's a huge screen. You'd almost be better off, getting an external screen with it, but it's not going to be portable then, but you'll at least be able to use the big screen when you're home.
Right, but I don't have any place to put it in a one-bedroom apartment.
Okay. Yeah. 17 is tough. I don't know why, but the companies just don't make 17-inchers anymore. Let me just look and see what kind of prices people are charging. Lenovo has a 17. Actually, HP has a 17-inch Pavilion for $400. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's probably not touch. The HP Pavilion 17F10. US. Lenovo has one for $500, a little more. Doesn't look like it's touch. The problem with touch is that adds a lot to the cost of a screen. Almost all of these, as you look at them, you'll be able to upgrade, and so you'll see what the difference is in touch. The HP Envy, which is a little bit of a higher-end laptop, there's a 17-inch for $829. So, yeah, Lenovo and HP still make them. Toshiba makes them. I'm not sure I'd really recommend it, Toshiba, but there are some choices out there. Good luck. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'd say Dell. I'd go with Dell. They have a 17-inch Inspiron. Our show today brought to you by our phone system. Now you would think, your phone system, Leo, what kind of ad could that possibly be? Well, you know what? Our phone system is more interesting than you might think. See, when we first built the studios, I did not go to the phone company and say, hey, just put some lines in. I didn't get a PBX in the basement, big old box. We used to have one of those. Crazy, the maintenance and the time. And no, I decided I'm a cloud kind of guy. I'm going to get a cloud-based phone system. And we love it. It's called Ring Central. And because it's in the cloud and not a PBX in the basement, there's no startup cost. It's much more flexible. The kinds of things you can do with Ring Central are kind of amazing. Of course, voice, and by the way, secure voice. So all of your phone calls are encrypted and private using secure voice. That's really nice. Faxing, yes. Texting, yes. In fact, you can even text from your business line, even your 800 number, and you can use the apps to do it, and you can even receive text messages from your 800 number to your phone, which is awesome. Works with iOS or Android devices, or buy a real phone. That's what I have. In fact, all of our employees have normal desk phones. We have a Polycom conference system and all of that works fine with Ring Central. With Ring Central, you keep your existing numbers. You can use toll-free numbers. We do. Local extensions. You can create one-off vanity numbers anytime you want. Customer support is free 24/7. And as I said, no setup fee, no activation fee. And they just announced something that is so extra, super cool. They just announced Ring Central for Google. We're a big Google office, so we can do everything within our Google apps, including using the dial pad on the screen to make calls from the Google account. Click any number on the screen in Gmail, contacts, or calendar to place a call. It's just like on the smartphone. Listen to voicemails directly within Gmail and all sorts of stuff, faxing from Google Drive, viewing text messages, scheduling conference calls. I'm on the page where it talks about the apps. Look, it works with everything. Really amazing. This platform is so good and getting better all the time. So here's the deal. Find out what it can do for you with a free 30-day trial. Absolutely risk-free. Go to ringcentral.com and sign up today. And by the way, for every desk phone you buy, you will get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. So ringcentral.com, use the offer code TWIT, T-W-I-T, ringcentral.com. See, they got an API, so it's amazing. Amazing. Ringcentral.com, offer code TWIT, or we have a special vanity number we made just for you. You're going to love it. It is Ring Central, 800-543-9980. Your complete cloud communication system, as little as $25 per user per month. It's just incredible. BYOD, mobile, all-inclusive pricing, includes everything. Such a good deal. 800-543-9980. RingCentral.com. And use the promo code TWIT. Please try it today. Free. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Bob in Lancaster, California is next. Hi, Bob.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, sir.
I and many of my friends have the same identical problem with a touchpad on a laptop, no matter what the make of the laptop. When you're reading an article online where you got to scroll down for page after page, and you stop scrolling and you read for a minute or two, when you go to scroll down more, the mouse pad will not let you scroll down until you hit the left mouse button. And I was wondering if you knew if there's a fix for this.
Windows, I'm guessing.
Yes.
It
doesn't matter whether it's XP, Windows 7, or Windows 8.1.
So you scroll, 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 you stop and you read, and then...
You go to scroll again, and there's won't no do response. It.
Okay, so what's happened is you've for reasons I don't understand somehow, you and your friends have lost focus. That is a technical term, meaning the frontmost window is no longer the browser. It's something else. So what you're doing by clicking is you're clicking on the browser window, saying to Windows, hey, pay attention, browser. I'm scrolling here. So what I don't know, and it's something maybe you and your friends are using, I don't know what programs you're using, maybe you're doing this in AOL, but for whatever reason, as you read, something else is stealing focus. So if you were to type or scroll or do any kind of input, it always goes to the window that has the focus, the front. Usually that's the frontmost, but it doesn't have to be the frontmost window. So I would look around on your screen, maybe type a few keystrokes, see where those go. That's stealing focus. Whatever that window is it a clock, whatever, maybe you and your friends have done the same thing, you've configured it in some way, it's stealing focus. When it steals focus, then scrolling will go to that window, not to the browser window where you want it. You're fixing it by clicking on the browser window, but I would find out what it is. That does not sound like it should be doing that. The same thing will happen with the arrow keys. You could try the arrow keys, but I bet you the same thing will happen until you click in that screen. It's some program is taking over. And it shouldn't be doing that, by the way. You might try closing all the other programs around. You want to figure out what program it is. And what you hope it's not is malware or spyware. Sometimes that happens. Spyware often will, you know, as the clock ticks, take back over the system. So I'm not sure. It's impossible for me without actually watching you do this to know what's doing it, but that's what's happening. And the fix would be turning whatever that program is off. Let's go to Cranston, Rhode Island, where my mom and my sister live and are buried in snow. Don, how many feet are out there?
I think we're up to 75.
Ay-yi-yi, caramba! That's more than me.
God springs around the corner.
That's more inches than I have. I'm only 60. I'd be underwater.
I want to come out to where you guys are so badly, you don't know.
Well, you know, it is March. It's going to warm up. True. It's going to warm up. I told my mom that yesterday. It's going to warm up, Ma.
When?
Any day now. You know, it makes me mad because I grew up in Providence and never snowed.
I know. I've been here all my life, and this is the worst, probably the most snow since the blizzard of 78.
Oh, I remember that one. Whew.
Sure.
What can I do for you, Don?
Well, Leo, I recently bought a Mac Mini, the i7. And as great a computer as it is, I use it 99% of the time as a Windows machine.
And yeah.
As you've said many times, it's the best Windows machine you'll ever own.
Macs work great as Windows machines, thanks to Apple providing the drivers and the boot camp.
Right. The problem is I put too much money into it, and I also realized that because it's the i7 one, the quad-core, it's very much in demand. Long story short, I sold it for twice as much as I bought it.
Oh, nice. Okay. That doesn't happen in computers very often.
I know.
Wow, you got a classic.
So, I want to stay with the small form factor.
Yeah.
So, I bought a fifth generation, the newest one that's available, one of the Intel Nooks.
Those are interesting, aren't they?
Yeah. It's going to be coming soon, within the week. And I've been doing my research. I've been looking at them, you know, on and off anyhow. But I figured that, you know, I like tinkering, so I don't mind getting in there.
Intel overcharges for them. Otherwise, I like them. I mean, but you've been paying for Mac Minis, so you don't know that.
That's right.
They seem like a good deal to you.
Sure.
And they are. I mean, you get a lot for your money with a NUC, but there are other choices. NUC, N-U-C, stands for New Unit of Computing. It's a mini PC. It's actually smaller than a Mac Mini.
Yes.
Kind of more like an Apple TV sized.
And it's been kind of almost like, because it takes like laptop memory, so it's not quite a full power desktop, right?
Yeah, but it's pretty good.
It is? Okay. Well, the only concern I had seen online, and, you know, you take that with a grain of salt, is that it doesn't, when you install Windows, for example, you can't get online because Windows doesn't have the right drivers. You need
what?
To install the drivers. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
What? What do you mean? It's a PC.
That's what I heard, that someone said you have to get the...
Intel makes it. It's a PC. Well, first of all, doesn't it come with Windows?
No.
Oh, you're not. Oh, you're getting it bare bones.
Doesn't come with a hard
drive. Oh, I get it. Yeah, you're getting a bare bones one. All right.
Right.
No, I think it should work. And if it doesn't, it will be a simple matter of tracking down the drivers.
Okay.
Of course, you'll have to have another computer to do that.
Right. And like a thumb drive or something.
Yeah,
right?
You'll be able to do that. It's made by Intel. You can't get much more PC than that.
That's true. I don't want any surprises. You know, that's the only thing.
I would wager money. Well, maybe not money. I'll wager this bobblehead right here that even if it doesn't have, like, if Windows doesn't have the drivers built in, which it oughta, but if it's the brand new NUC, maybe Microsoft didn't do that, and Windows Update doesn't give you the driver. Of course, it can't because you can't get online. That's why it's tricky, right?
Right.
If you could get online, you just run Windows Update, you'd get the driver. So what you could do, though, is you can go to – in fact, you do it right now. Go to the Intel site for the NUC you bought and download all the drivers and put them on a thumb drive.
Okay, that's common sense. Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like, you know, any time you buy a computer, if you need drivers, you go to the motherboard maker. And you download them. Well, there's no, you know, Intel makes more motherboards than anybody else, and they're more standard than anything else. So if Intel doesn't make Windows drivers, I'd eat my bobblehead.
And if it's an i5 and it's you know, I'm gonna load it with as much memory, 16 gigabytes of memory.
Nice.
It should be just a good solid machine. Correct?
Oh yeah, it's a PC. The thing is amazing now is really how small you can get PCs. I mean, there's a. Is it Intel? I think it's Intel's making a Windows PC that's the size of a USB drive, thumb drive.
Wow.
Yeah, the stick, okay. A Windows stick. So, because PCs are smaller now. The processors are small. They've got system-on-a-chip solutions. They've really got them down to a tiny size. And that's what the NUC takes advantage of. So I think a good choice. You probably got a Newegg where you can get a bare bones system. I think that's a great choice. And you shouldn't have any difficulty getting the drivers. The only trick is, if you don't have another computer and you're not online, how do you get the drivers to get online? That's probably what people are talking about. Do it now while you still have, you can still get online. 8888 Ask Leo. More of your calls still to come. And don't forget, we're going to continue taping for a couple of hours. So if you're on the line, hang in there. Leo Laporte.
I'm broke, man. Broke my thing.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, performing answers to your tech questions. Neil in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Neil. Leo Laporte here.
Hey, Leo, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm well. Thank you for calling.
Great. Well, I have one here. This is probably the weirdest issue you may have tackled today.
Oh, I love it. All right.
Okay. I know that you're an avid House of Cards watcher, just like me.
Yes, no spoilers now. We're in the season of three, and I haven't seen it all yet.
No. Well, here's the deal. I watched it on my Roku, the XD2.
Yeah.
And I have noticed an odd phenomenon for some reason, which is when I'm watching on my Roku, and you know how the first screen after, it comes up Netflix original series, the black screen, and then at the bottom of that, you'll see that repeated in Spanish. Also, if you see them doing some text, for example.
You've got secondary audio channel turned on your TV.
Well, no, I'm not hearing any secondary audio. They're talking English. What I'm saying is...
Oh, I see. All right.
When you see any text on screen, for example, they're sending a text back and forth, and they put that text on the screen so you can see what they're saying.
Do you have intentionally turned on closed captioning, right?
No, I checked that. It's turned off. No closed captioning. It doesn't closed caption all the dialogue. If they don't speak Spanish, it's only when they're showing text on the screen, for example, a lower third or something like that.
Isn't that odd? I don't see that.
Right. I'm not sure if you're using it on your Roku or not.
I don't see it anywhere. I don't see it on any device, including the Roku. So somewhere you've got subtitles turned on. I'm guessing in the Roku interface. You don't see it anywhere else on your television when you watch other inputs, do you?
No, never. And I checked the Roku interface. I checked the Netflix interface, made sure they were shut off. I called Roku.
What did Roku
Netflix
say?
They didn't have they didn't say much about it, truth be told. They suggested I reboot the Roku, which I did take their advice. I pulled it out, let it sit, and plugged it back in and rebooted it. I upgraded the software on the Roku device. It's just the strangest thing I've ever seen. I called Netflix. They couldn't duplicate it.
While the video's playing, you press the in your Roku remote, press the down arrow. And you should get the subtitles menus up there. And make sure that's all turned off, okay?
Right. Check that. Okay.
I don't think it's Netflix. But Netflix is obviously sending them. But it's Roku. I believe it's either Roku or your TV that's deciding to display them. I was watching it. Here's a post by a guy named Matt. I was watching an episode of Orange is the New Black. Every time they were talking Spanish, there were no subtitles. When there was something written in English, a subtitle popped up in Spanish. Is that what's happening to you?
Right, but there's no English subtitles in the Spanish.
Yeah.
It's only when you see text on screen. Now, they're not speaking. I'm not getting English.
So one fix suggested is to uninstall and reinstall the Netflix channel. That'll mean you'll have to, unfortunately, reauthorize. And then it says, once you reinstall the channel and log into your account again, the episodes will play properly. Now, here's another one. Go to the page as if you're selecting the episode to watch, and underneath it, right above the description in the episode, is there an audio and subtitles option. Make sure you select English. That's on the Netflix page.
Right.
So these are a couple of fixes I'm just finding online. Sounds like it's Roku. But try the down arrow. Make sure those settings are proper. And then in the Netflix page, as you look at the episode you're selecting, underneath it, right above the description, apparently, is an audio and subtitles option. Make sure you uncheck that. or a select English under that. So that would be my guess, is that somebody messing around, or it's an easy thing to accidentally select. So before you uninstall and reinstall Netflix, I would do that. I would check that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
I hope that helps. Chat room says, Leo, you're not getting it. I think I'm getting it. We'll see if it works. I think I'm getting it. You're talking about Netflix on your TV. Yeah. Carol in Morro Bay, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I'm calling because my next book is Android. Doesn't have Bluetooth. Is there any way I can get Bluetooth?
Not if it's that's a hardware requirement. So it has to have the radio. So if in the specs for the hardware it doesn't say Bluetooth,
no,
then there's nothing you could do to add it. You have to have the hardware, the radio in there.
Oh, okay, because my other ones do. Okay, and then one other question. My old next book, I could put the apps onto the memory card, but on my new one, it won't go into the memory card.
Yeah, that's a little tricky with Windows. It's Windows or Android? I forgot.
It's Android.
Android. So apps can go on the card only if they don't have widgets. It's a freaky thing with Android. If it has a widget, you know, those little desktop things,
mm-hmm.
and most apps do, then the widgets won't work if you're on the SD card. So not all apps can be moved over there. If you go into your apps, settings, you know, you go to the settings and then you go to apps, you can look at all the apps and you can see which ones can be moved to the SD card. If they can be, there'll be a checkbox.
Okay.
But if they can't be, that usually means there's widgets or some other reason. And if they can't be moved, then you're stuck with having them on the main thing. And that can be a problem, right? Because you don't have enough memory.
Yeah. That's why my first one did it, I guess.
Yeah, we generally tell people to get more than 8 gigs of memory because...
Yeah, well, I have 3 tablets, so...
Okay, well, you have some that it works with?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So, okay, just one more question about the Bluetooth.
Sure.
So there's not, like, a plug-in to give me Bluetooth? That would be...
No, it's hardware. It has to... Especially in a tablet. It has to be built with... It's just like Wi-Fi. If it's not built with the radio in it, it won't do anything.
Okay.
You can't add it. I'm surprised because most tablets have Bluetooth. But if you get a really cheap one, then I guess that's one of the ways they make it really cheap. They leave out Bluetooth. That's a radio, and it's hardware, in other words, and you can't add hardware. Now, on a computer, you could get a Bluetooth USB dongle. But most Android laptops don't have that capability. And even if they could accept the dongle, they'd also have to have the drivers. And that's something you probably don't have or have access to. 8888, ask Leo. We got another break. But as I mentioned, we're going to be recording ahead for a future show. So at the top of the hour, when the show goes off your radio, it will continue on the internet. And you can continue to call. And I'll be taking enough calls to do a whole show. So it'll take me a couple hours. So please keep those, as they say, cards and letters and phone calls coming, 888-827-5536. And if you're on the line now, I promise we'll get to your call sometime this afternoon. 8888-ASK-LEO, the website, techguylabs.com. I'm going to put the Facebook comment thread that seemed to address that Netflix subtitle issue on the website at techguylabs.com. But if you're one of the folks who said, no, Leo, you don't get the question, or if you think you've got a better solution, that's why we have comments on the website. Please go in there. We'll talk during the break, too. I'll see if I can get the chat room to explain what they think's going on and see if I can find a solution. But if not, techguylabs.com. Hour 3 for a show 1167. Go in there and leave your comments. More of your calls coming up. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You can have a USB Bluetooth dongle. Won't do anything unless you have the drivers. And there's no, as far as I know, no way to put drivers on them. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. 8888-ASK. Leo, that's the number. We're probably done with calls for this hour, but don't worry, many more calls to come. I'm going to be taping for an upcoming show in just a few minutes, so stay on the line if you're on the line. Meanwhile, look who's here, Dickie D. Dick D. Bartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. We call him the Gizwiz because each and every week he joins us with some gadget or doodad.
Yeah, this is a gadget. It was at Toy Fair, but it has zero to do with kids or toys. And last week we did those cars whose name I forgot already. That
Unky.
You were very
Unky
cars.
Unky
Overdrive.
Unky Overdrive.
Coming in September. So let's see if you are interested in the Isle Hawk, okay? The Isle Hawk is kind of like Segway Lite. It's a personal transport. You stand on it. You go forward by leaning forward, go backward, leaning backward, stop it by standing straight up. However, there is no handlebar, no dashboard. You just get on kind of the base of a Segway, a very small base, and then move around at, I believe the guy said the top speed was 6.2 miles an hour. And you can go 10 to 12.
That's faster than it sounds, by the way.
Oh, okay. No, I would think.
Yeah. That's faster than you can run.
Yeah.
Well,
if
maybe
you're
not.
Standing up and going 6.
If you can run a 5 minute, let's see, 6 miles an hour, that'd be a 10 minute mile. I guess it's not fast. It's running.
It's running.
Running speed.
Yeah. Yeah. And 10 to 12 hours on a 3 hour charge. The thing is, weight limit is 265 pounds for a person. There's no dashboard. When you look down, there's just an LED with battery life, three segments, 33, 66, and fully charged. And the thing about this is it only weighs 22 pounds. So you would ride it, the guy said, on the smooth surface to, assuming you had a smooth road between you and your office, and then you just pick it up and put it in a knapsack, take it up to the office, and you could charge it again.
The thing about a Segway is it's got a handlebar.
Yes.
This does not.
No, it does not. And
I'm just standing on this.
It took me 15 minutes.
Do you have the balance?
I mean, my balance to stand on it. Now, there was another reporter there who was riding it back and forth. And I said, "You're doing great." He said, "Yeah." After about 30 minutes, I finally got up the nerve to move forward. But young people, Leo,
those young people.
You know, those young people.
They're just amazing. How do they do it?
I don't know.
My son would be able to balance. He's a skateboarder, though, so he'd hop on this and ride it all over.
He'd get this going 12 miles an hour.
So, okay, how much? When's it available?
Yes,
how much battery life?
Take a guess, okay, because
$1,200.
Oh, you guessed lower than I had guessed, and I was wrong. It's up there. It's $1,800.
Oh, forget it.
Okay, well, there you go. There's your problem. Okay. Next caller, please.
Forget about it.
Okay.
I'm going to...
$1,799.99. Yeah. Okay.
And that's, of course, nothing compared to the bills for breaking your leg or ripping your knee.
No. Did I tell you it has two headlights? That doesn't change
them on. It has headlights?
Well, it has two lights on it. And when you go forward, the lights just keep on.
Well, here's the good
steady.
News. The red one isn't more expensive. So it's got that going for it.
It's got that going.
Wait a minute. Now, it looks like the pedals are independent. I would fall on my behind with this. Oh, yeah, they show some guy rolling around. I don't think so.
What attracted me to it was this guy went whizzing by me at Toy
Fair. That's a good speed.
Turned out to be the president of the company, so he's got a lot of experience with it. But the lights face back so that people can see that you're up ahead. Or if you want, you just flip the lights around. If you want to use them, I guess, as little mini headlights.
Were you able to ride on these
feel
secure?
I rode it about 2 feet. And I said to the president coming who I was talking to, I said, just stand right next to me. So I was not, I do a lot better on my Razor scooter because I have a handlebar.
Well, I practically killed myself on a Razor scooter, so I should definitely not go
there. Stay away from this. Yeah. Oh, okay. I think the wheels on my Razor scooter are bigger than the wheels on this. But my Razor scooter, you have to pedal it.
I ran into trouble with a scooter is I hit a pothole. And the scooter stopped. Oddly enough, I did not.
Yeah.
And went over teep kettle. Is that the phrase?
I think it's rear end over elbow.
Something like that. I literally flipped over the top and boom.
Yeah. I had that happen once on the Razor. And it turned out it was nothing to do with the Razor. I had frayed jeans. And the bottom of my jeans started wrapping around the rear wheel of the scooter as I was going downhill. And so when the fabric ran out of enough to pull away from the jeans and the jeans went into it.
Wow.
I did the same thing as you, right over the top.
Now, didn't we see another thing like this at CES in January? But they were independent wheels, right? Or no?
You know what? The guy told me they were at CES, but I didn't see them there.
I feel like I saw something that looked like rollers.
It could have been them because he did say, did you see it at CES?
Maybe,
and I said, no, I saw you riding down the aisle.
I think they got a lot of attention at CES, actually.
They did. They also got a lot of attention at Toy Fair. Only because they kept riding up and down the aisles and not killing anybody.
The problem is you see these guys riding these, and they seem so stable and secure and confident that you feel like, well, that can't be that hard. But that's like seeing a circus acrobat, do a leap through the air on the flying trapeze. It looks easy, but it takes some practice.
Oh, Dennis, take down that trapeze. I'm not going to do it.
It feels to me like, if you were to run into anything, those wheels would stop, but you wouldn't. And there's nothing holding you. There's nothing to...
No. Your feet aren't taped in. You don't want them taped in. You are just flying down the road on those two. They look like maybe they're 5-inch
wheels.
Yeah. But as you said, your son would be dynamite on
I think this, Henry would love this, but I'm not getting it for him. He already busted his knee on a skateboard. But people who skateboard say the advantage of a skateboard is you can jump off of it if you run into trouble. With roller skates, the wheels are attached to your feet. They're not attached to your feet, right? You could hop off.
You would do the same thing with this. You would jump off.
What happens if you hop off? Do they keep rolling down the street?
I think it stops.
Oh, good.
I think it stops because it needs the weight pointing forward for it to go forward. So if you jump off, I think it will just roll a short distance and just stop.
Does it have airbags?
Yeah. Okay. They're optional. They're another $4,000.
You just wrap yourself in bubble wrap.
They come with a sumo suit.
Yeah. Hey, Dick is at gizwiz.biz. That's his website, gizwiz.biz. You can go there right now and play the What the Heck Is It contest.
It's a new one now.
Brand new contest. What was that thing, that chisel? Oh, it's the paddywhacker.
The paddywhacker.
What does that do?
For people who have hamburgers stuck together.
Oh, it's a frozen hamburger separator.
Exactly. Well, three people knew.
Yeah, because who would sell a frozen hamburger separator?
Well, the people at Paddywhacker.
I guess if you ate a lot of frozen hamburgers, it'd be worth it. So let's see. We got a close-up of something with a mustache. It looks like it has a strap. What the heck could that be? And
I don't know. It sounds like some kind of crazy game.
Ah, so here's the deal. If you go to gizwiz.biz, take a look at that. There are 12 autographed Mad magazines for the right answer, 24 for the best wrong answer. All the rules are at gizwiz.biz. Click the What the Heck Is It link. Chance to play the game. It's just fun.
Oh, it's fun. You know, somebody said it's a Flintstone texting tool. It's very funny.
It looked like a chisel.
Fun.
It did look like a chisel. Yeah.
A way to get an aspirin into a cat's mouth.
Go to gizwiz.biz. Dick DiBartolo, thanks for joining us. Thank you all. Thanks to Heather Hammond, the phone ranger, for taking the calls. Nathan Staten, our musical director, for playing the calls. Thanks to you for calling in or just listening. I'll be back again next time. I hope you have a great Geek Week. And if you're on the line, hang on the line. If you're not, keep calling, because we're going to take some calls ahead of time. We're recording ahead. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great Geek Week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.